Well, good morning. Man, we had a lot of fun doing that podcast, and we're super, super excited about it. We hope that you, as Carolyn mentioned, you will download it and share it with others, because we truly, truly want to see people follow Jesus a little bit more closely and carefully. And so it's great to be in worship with you today. For those of you who are brand new to Trinity Church, we welcome you, those in the building, but also those who are viewing online. And so again, it is so, so good. After a very, very tough game last night, pulling through. Yeah, that's right. Nobody better say go blue either. So, all right. man, it's great to be with brothers and sisters in worship. And I'm excited because we're starting a new series in the Gospel of John. And I hope, we desire more than anything that we will see Jesus in a way that impacts us in seismic ways, that it will activate something in us to trust him more, believe him more. In the movie, in the movie Braveheart, that great theologian William Wallace says this: every man dies, but not everyone lives. Let me say that again. He says, every man dies, but not everyone really lives. Now, this quote should drive us to ask the question, am I really living? Now, I'm not talking about biologically. I'm not talking about breathing. Everyone in this room is breathing. But I think what William Wallace was talking about was not breathing in and out. He was talking about living life fully. Living life fully. And when we talk about this idea, God designed each one of us to live life to the full. He designed you, he designed me to live life to the full. Admittedly, however, there's a gap between what we desire and the design and the experience and the reality. I don't know about you, but there are gaps in my life where I know this is the life that God wants me to live, and yet there's a gap between what the design is and the experience he wants me to have. He wants you to have. And so there's this sense where we believe in our heart of hearts there's something more. There's something more than what we are experiencing right now. There's more to life than the house. There's more to life than the car. There's more to life than the degree. There's more to life than the win. There's more to life than the business deal. There has to be something more. So here's a question that I want you to wrestle with. And I'm not going to ask for any kind of responses right now, but I want you to wrestle with this. Whether in your seat right now or even for the rest of this week, how would you characterize your life right now? How would you, if someone asked you to characterize your life in this moment right now, 2021, on the 26th day of September, how would you characterize your life right now? Is it a life filled with guilt and discouragement, a life filled with anger and anxiety and complacency and frustration and addiction, maybe feeling trapped in a situation, maybe boredom, maybe you've done the death scroll, right? Because there's boredom. Maybe your life is characterized by abuse and the memory of it. Maybe your life is characterized by a sense of failure. Or maybe it's selfishness. Or maybe your life is characterized by, man, life has not turned out the way I thought it would. I think if in some sense, underneath the surface of all of our skin is this quiet desperation, is this longing for something more. Even after the success, even after the win, there's something more that I think Jesus wants us to experience. And so the question that I'm asking, the question that we're going to be asking throughout this entire series of messages is, how can we begin to experience the life that God wants us to experience? How can we begin to experience the life that God designed us to actually live? How can we actually enjoy it? How can we close the gap between what I know and what I experience? Well, that's what we're going to kind of unpack today, and then for the better part of this series, in showing you what this life looks like and how to begin to activate that kind of life, the life that God has designed us to live. So I want to answer that question today from the Gospel of John itself. So if you have a copy of the scriptures, and again, I encourage you to bring your Bible, if you have a physical copy of the Bible or the Bible on your phone or your tablet, we're going to be in the book of John. So I want you to get used to, I want you to become familiar with the Gospel of John. So if you have a copy of the scripture, if you're using the Pew Bible, it's going to be page 907. Gospel of John is the fourth book of the New Testament. Genesis to Malachi is the old Hebrew scriptures, and then Matthew to Revelation began the New Testament. All right, so let me just give you a little bit. John, it was one of Jesus' disciples, and he wrote this book to particular hearers. He wrote this book to to Greek and Jewish hearers. But this gospel is also written to you and to me. That John actually had hearers in mind when he wrote this, that lived where, you know, when he lived. But the Holy Spirit also used him to write this for you and for me in 2021 in Lansing, Michigan, for us to understand how to live like Jesus, like God has designed us to live. Now, so let's read the verse. I want to read verses 30 through 31. Because John does something very interesting in his book. And I hear some people saying, you know, type A personalities. Well, I thought we were studying the book of John. Shouldn't we start at the beginning of the book? Well, John does something very interesting. He actually tells us why he wrote his book, and he does it at the end of his book. So then we can go back and actually look at all the things that he wrote so that we might have what he's offering, what Jesus is offering. So verse 30 and 31, this is what it says. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these, that is everything in the Gospel of John, 21 chapters, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So what I want to do, I want to work backwards. I want to start at the very end of the verses and then work our way up to verse 30. So John says at the very end, this is what he says. I'm writing all of these things that by believing you may have life. So the question is, what is John talking about when he says life, that you and I may have life? So we already said that John is not necessarily talking about biological life. He says, I didn't write these things so that you might keep breathing in and out. It's not the reason he wrote it. So a second reason why he didn't write it is that I didn't write this. John says, I didn't write this so that you might just have eternal life. Now, John does talk about eternal life throughout his book, and that is life after death. After you and I die, you and I will live forever somewhere. So John does talk about eternal life, but he is not just talking about eternal life in John in verses 30 and 31. It would be a shame to wait until we die to actually live the life that God had designed us to live. So it has to be more than eternal life, that is life after we die. Eternal life does not exhaust the life that God wants for us. So what in the world is John talking about? Well, I think he answers it in John, in his book, in chapter 10, verse 10. We're going to get to this passage, but I want to kind of give you a give a little bit of a taste. And this is what it says: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they, that is, all of us, may have life. There's that word again, and have it abundant. So when John says, I'm writing these things about Jesus, and that by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that you might have life, he is saying, I want you to have life. And the word abundant here means, it's actually a mathematical term. It actually means surplus. So when John says Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly, he says Jesus wants to give us surplus. He wants to give us life and more life. So let's go back. He says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came that you might have life. So before you and I can have abundant life, you and I actually have to have life. And the life that John is talking about, the life that Jesus is talking about, it is the life that comes from when I recognize that I am a sinner before a holy God, and the only way that I can be made right before a holy God is that there has to be a sacrifice that kind of referencing the Old Testament, has to be a sacrifice that covers my sin, that helps me pass from death to life, that actually gives me brand new life, to be born again. We're going to get to that in John chapter 3. You and I must be born again. And once we have this God life, then God says, now I want to give you more life. I want to give you more joy and peace. I want to give you life that goes way beyond your wildest dreams. I want to give you life way beyond the brand new car. I want to give you life way beyond successful living. I want to give you a life beyond prosperity. I want to give you life that flows from within. I want to give you life that has very little to do with external circumstances. Now I need to say this, because when we think of abundant life, we immediately go to this idea that God is going to give me more money,
that God is going to give me a bigger house, that God is going to give me everything I want in life, that God is not going to let me suffer, that God is not going to let me get sick, that God is going to keep the cancer away, that God is not going to allow divorce to happen. God is going to make me happy. That's what we think about when we think of abundant life. But that is not the kind of life that John is talking about. That's not the kind of life that Jesus is offering. Now, some of that does happen, that God is a provider, that God does prepare a table in the presence of our enemies, that God does guide us. But abundant life is more than God providing for us. It is in the midst of suffering where I find satisfaction in God. It is in the midst of pain where I know that God is with me. It is in the midst of grief where I know that God will be my comforter. It's in the midst of divorce where I know that God will be my husband or my wife. It is in the midst of walking through the valley of the shadow of death that the God, the good shepherd, will walk with us. That's the abundant life that God offers. It is not just make me happy, give me, give me, give me. It is despite all of these things that we have a shepherd who makes us lie down in green pastures. We have a shepherd who has a home prepared for us even after this life. It's a life. It's a life that we can actually enjoy now, and we don't have to wait until we die. It is a life that is connected to the God of the universe. It is a life that says, I will lead you and guide you. It is a life that says, I will comfort you in the midst of loneliness and hopelessness. So the word abundant even goes a little bit further, and it's this idea of a wave crashing on the shore. So if you go to the beach right now, there's one wave after another, after another, after another. And that's the kind of life that God says, I want to give you. It is a life that's one wave after another. So John 1:16, this is what John 1:16 says, and I love this verse. It says, and from his fullness, talking about the fullness of Jesus, we have all received grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. One spiritual blessing after another. It is experiencing life even in the midst. I know a young lady, had a conversation with a young lady this week. And I appreciate her perspective. She got a diagnosis of cancer. And she's trusting. Sisters have kind of disowned her as they walk through the whole estate thing. It's almost like there's vitriol and hatred, and yet her response with the diagnosis is that I just trust God. Her response with hate-filled notes and letters and calls and messages is that I will love them. It is that kind of life that says, upon all that I've gone through, she can give you a journal. She can give you journal entry after journal entry after journal entry of grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. How God has provided, how God has walked, how God has comforted. This is not just something that I mentally assent to. This is someone who says, I am trusting the good shepherd to walk with me. This is the kind of life that God offers. This is the kind of life that that goes way beyond just living from one, I mean, just like, let me get to the next high, whatever that high is. But then Jesus, when we talk about abundant life and talk about life, there's another passage, John chapter 7, verse 38. John chapter 7, verse 38. Again, love this passage. We're going to get to all of this, but I wanted to give you a little snippet. And Jesus is talking about him being the living water. And verse 38 says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So when John talks about rivers of living water, he is talking about finding contentment in Jesus, finding satisfaction in Jesus. So John says, it's come full circle. John says, "I've written these things in my gospel. I've told you these stories about Jesus. I've shown you signs and miracles that Jesus performed. I kind of give you some of Jesus' teaching so that you might believe, and in believing, you might have life. Not just biological life, not just eternal life after I die, but a quality of life now, abundant life now, that satisfies even in the midst of pain and suffering. It is a wave upon wave upon wave upon wave of spiritual blessing. It's a wave upon wave upon wave of God's grace in our lives. It's a wave upon wave, yes, of physical provision, yes, of God blessing us with physical kinds of things, of houses and money, but it's more than that. It is the God life in us. Now, I hear some people right now, either online or right now in this room, you're saying, "Marvin, I want that kind of life." So the question is, how do we experience that kind of life? Well, John actually tells us. Look back at John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Again, we're working our way backwards. I'm going to start at verse 30 again. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may," here it is, say it with me together, "that you may" what? "Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by," say it with me, "believing you may have life." So this is the second point on your notes, that you may believe, that by believing. So what does John mean by believing? Again, we want to help you understand the scriptures. So when John uses the word believe, he is not, you got to hear this. He is not talking about mental assent. He is not talking about, "I have a belief system." He is not talking about, "Hey, oh yeah, mentally I believe that. Yes, mentally I believe in gravity." No, he is not talking about mental assent. He is talking about something more. So John uses the word believe 98 times in his gospel. So the gospel of John is 21 chapters. So he uses the word believe on an average of 5 times per chapter. He uses the word believe 98 times. You kind of get a sense that John wants us to do something, right? He wants us to pay attention to the word believe. Anytime you see a word in the Bible used multiple times by an author, you need to pay attention, because he's trying to help us to understand something. Now, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to give you 2 English lessons. So, oh man, Marvin, not math and English. So let me give you a quiz. What is a noun? Person, but yeah, that's right. You said that loud. You wanted us to know you were in that English class and you were there. Person, place, or thing. Person, place, or thing. It's something that you and I possess. A house is a noun. A key is a noun. This Bible is a noun. So let me ask, what's a verb? It's an action word.
right? So I read my Bible. That is me doing a verb to a noun. That is, I attend the worship gathering. The worship gathering is a noun. I attend the worship gathering is a verb. Check this out. Every single time John uses the word believe, it is always a verb in his gospel and never a noun. Always a verb, never a noun. He doesn't use belief. He uses 98 times, he uses the word, the verb, believe. Now, you got to hear this. So when John says, I've written these things about Jesus that you may believe, he is not saying that I've written these things so that you might have a knowledge of Jesus. He's saying, I didn't write these things so that you might have a noun about Jesus or possessing faith, quote unquote. He says, I wrote these things so that you might verb, you might do something about what you believe. John says, I didn't write this so that you might have, like in Christian circles, I have a bunch of knowledge about God. I have a bunch of knowledge about Jesus. I have a bunch of knowledge about the Bible. I have a bunch of knowledge about what happened many years ago. John says, I've written these things. I've selected certain stories. I've selected certain kind of narratives so that when you read it, you might do something about it. You might actually believe. So again, we are tempted to say things like, oh, I believed in Jesus when I was 13. Or I believed in Jesus when I was 16. I went to a camp and they told me about Jesus and I have a knowledge about Jesus. Yeah, he kind of did something on a cross and like, yeah, I think I know. You can recite it. He died on a cross, he was buried in a grave, and he rose again. It's good that we know that. I think we have to know that. But John says, I've written these things so that you might do something about what you say you believe. I don't know about you. That hit me like a ton of bricks. When I understood this. A noun is something that I possess. A verb is something that I do. John uses 98 times. He uses the verb believe. And so believe is something more than a possession. It's something more than a noun. It is saying, like, I've read this about Jesus. I read this that he is the living water. Then I need to trust him to satisfy something inside of me. I read about him being the bread of life, then I must actually put this in action and say, I am going to trust that he gives me nutrients and I don't have to go outside of myself to satisfy me. That Jesus said, John says that Jesus healed a man that was lame for 38 years, then how will I activate my faith in Jesus as healer? That Jesus turned the water into wine, how will now I trust him to take the mundaneness of my life and give me vitality and strength and life? So believing is about action, not just about mental assent. This, my friends, is a game changer. So here's the second English lesson. The word believe 98 times, for the most part, in the Gospel of John, is in what we call in the Greek the present tense. And the present tense is keep believing. Keep on believing. And so what John is saying, this is so cool, and please hear me, hear me. What John says, I've written these things about Jesus. I've written these stories about Jesus. I've written these narratives about Jesus. So when you are like Thomas and who says, now this is a post, Jesus mentions this in kind of, or John writes this post-resurrection, and Thomas is doubting that Jesus is alive. And some of you and some of us, we go through seasons where we hit a wall, where we don't want to believe and we don't want to keep believing. And John says, I want you to go back to my gospel, and I want you to read and reread and reread, because when your faith wanes, these stories will help you keep believing. In the midst of divorce, these stories will help you keep believing. In the midst of suffering and pain and sickness and cancer, these stories will help you keep believing. When you're in the midst of being laid off and you haven't had a job in such a long time, I'm talking about a job because you're not hired, not a job because you don't want to work. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like not just taking unemployment insurance, you know. I'm talking about like you can't find a job, right? In the midst of unemployment, these stories will help you keep believing that God is a good God, that God is a provider, that He is a good shepherd, He is living water. He will turn your water into wine. He will heal your diseases, physical and emotional, that these stories are designed to help us keep believing. For those people who already follow Jesus. Now, these stories are also for people, if you're here today and you say, man, I don't really know about this Jesus guy. These stories, when you read them, they will help you believe new. But actually believe that Jesus is in fact the Messiah, the Son of God. So, John says, let's rehearse. John says, I've written these things. Like there's a whole bunch of other stuff that I didn't put in this book. But these things I've written so that you might believe, that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of the Messiah, the Son of God. And that you might have life in His name. So life is actually connected to my belief. Abundant life is connected to my continuous believing. Now, hear me when I say this. I'm not talking about eternal security. I'm not talking about the moment you believe in Jesus, surrender your life to Jesus, your salvation is secure. We believe we see that in the scriptures. What I'm talking about is abundant life. That is the life, the more life that God offers. The moment you and I stop believing is the moment you and I will stop experiencing the kind of life, the kind of peace, the kind of joy, the kind of abundant living, the wave upon wave upon wave upon wave. The moment you and I stop believing who Jesus is, and I'm not talking about honest doubt, but I am talking about when I stop believing that Jesus is the living water, I think the living water will stop flowing. When I stop believing that Jesus is the bread of life, then I'll start getting my nutrients from a lot of other sources. When I stop believing that Jesus is the light of the world, I'll look for all kinds of other direction in life, and I will grope in darkness still. When I stop believing that Jesus is healer, then I won't see Him as the God of the universe who is big enough and broad enough to handle the things that I go through. So life is connected to my believing. What am I believing? Or what are we believing? Let's go back to the verse. It says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So what are we believing? We are believing that Jesus is the Messiah. That is God's chosen one. God's one to come into the world to save us from our sins. the Son of God, the one who reveals God to us. And we're believing, and it's an act of belief in Him. It's an act of belief that Jesus actually satisfies those desperate, those quiet desperations in our heart. So in the Gospel of John, you're going to find out that if you are thirsty for meaning in life, then you'll find that Jesus is the living water. We're going to tell you about that. If you're hungry for real purpose in life and not just kind of feeling Groundhog Day, we're going to tell you that Jesus is the bread of life, and He does satisfy. If you're groping in darkness right now and really can't find your way in life, we're going to tell you that Jesus is the light of the world, and He will shine on your path and show you direction in life. If you're suffering from hopelessness right now, we're going to tell you that Jesus is God's joy in the world. If you are afraid of death and dying, we're going to gladly and we're going to profoundly tell you that Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in Me, they will have life not only in the world to come, but they can have life right now. If you are suffering from physical illness, we're going to tell you about Jesus who healed a nobleman's son when he wasn't even in the presence of the young boy. We're going to tell you about Jesus who healed a man who was lame for 38 years. And we hope and pray that that story will activate your faith to believe that Jesus is a physical healer. He's an emotional healer. He heals relationships. These stories were written so that we can believe that Jesus is in fact who God says He is. And He comes and has come into the world to actually answer those deep longings in our hearts. You're looking for direction. We're going to tell you that Jesus is the good shepherd. So whatever part of our life is not beautiful right now, Jesus says, John says, if you read these stories about Jesus, it will activate your faith and trust to actually convince you that those unbeautiful parts of your lives right now can be made beautiful again. That those of you who have gone through divorce and you feel rejected and unwanted, John says, if you read these stories, man, it's going to activate something in you that lets you know and reminds you that you are My beloved son and daughter, whom I'm well pleased. If you're feeling a sense of hopelessness, these stories will help you to feel hope again. Not a noun, but a verb, believe. So it's like how do we like what do we do? How what are we supposed to do right now? So Marvin, like, man, y'all gonna be preaching this all year long? I can't wait until week 32 for you to answer my problem. I need something right now. So let's finish with this. Now Jesus, verse 30 again. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. These are written. So John says in a roundabout way, I have the answer to the question, what about my situation right now? Well, John says Jesus did many other things that are not written in this book. John says, I saw Jesus do things, I heard Him say things that I just didn't have time to write down. I just didn't have time to write down. It's so many of them, I don't think
this book would have held it all. But John says, I carefully selected stories. I carefully selected narratives so that when you read them, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it will activate your faith and mine to start believing that Jesus can answer the deepest longings of our heart. So you don't have to wait till we get to week 32. Guess what? You can actually start reading the Gospel of John now. You can actually start at chapter 1. Start reading the Gospel now and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to download something in me. I need you to activate my faith. I need you to activate my belief gene so that I can believe that Jesus is, in fact, the light of the world, that Jesus is, in fact, he does turn water to wine, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that Jesus is the good shepherd, that Jesus is healer. Would you please, as I read, activate that in me now. So don't wait on us. If you got a Bible, start reading now. If you got a, at least I, if you don't have a Bible, go out and get one and start reading. This is what I believe, that when you and I come to Scripture with expectancy, the Holy Spirit will answer. John says, let's rehearse. John says, Jesus wants us to have life. Life that God intended for us to have. It is abundant. It is contented life. It is life and more life. It is surplus. It is surplus. It is God life. But it just doesn't happen. It's connected to something. It's connected to our believing. And believing is not a noun. It's a what? It's a verb. There's action to my belief. But what am I believing? Am I just believing that God exists? No, I'm not just believing that God exists. Am I believing that Jesus is a good person? No, I am believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that John has written stories about him to activate our faith so that we might have life. So that we might know that Jesus really does satisfy. So you know, what does this look like? I mean, it looks like a number of things in my life, but and when COVID hit, I wasn't doing so well, not physically. I mean, we had COVID, we made it through, and we didn't have any residual and that sort of thing. But my job is being on this platform. So part of the way I communicate is I say something, there's response. If it's like something funny, you respond, and it's like, oh, they're in the room, right? But when we went to online, I struggled. Like if I say, you know, can I get an amen? Like you all would say, amen. Like, I'm looking in the camera, and I'm saying, can I get an amen? And like the camera is quiet. Nobody said anything. That there's something about the, and again, this is very honest, right? There's something about the crowd. There's something about the crowd that is energetic for me as a communicator. And when the crowd was gone, like I suffered, quietly suffered. Nobody in this room knew about it. Maybe a few people that I shared it with. Like I was like struggling. Like, I had to put on a face because the camera was on. As soon as the light, come on, the camera's on. Hey, I gotta be on. But I struggled. And in my time alone with the one who satisfies, the one who is the living water, the one who is the resurrection and the life, he says, Marvin, are you willing to surrender the crowd? Are you willing to surrender the crowd? Are you willing to be faithful, whether there's 10 in the room or whether it is you don't know who's on the other side of the camera? Are you willing to surrender the crowd? And I'm gonna tell you, I was like, I'm not ready to surrender the crowd. The crowd is part of my life. And slowly but surely, he began to pry my hands off the crowd. You are the crowd. And at that point, he began to remind me that you find your satisfaction in me, not the people. You find your satisfaction in me, not the crowd. And it's the moment where I surrendered the crowd where the living waters began to well up inside of me. Where I began to say that I will be faithful whether there is 10 in the room or whether there's 1,000 in the room. It is this Jesus who graciously, compassionately pried my hands off the crowd. So we invite you into a journey. It is going to be beautiful. It is going to be painful. It is going to be challenging. But guess what? It is worth it. It is worth it. Because when you exchange whatever you have and you give it to Jesus, Jesus will give you more back. He'll give you peace. He'll give you joy in the midst of all the stuff that you're dealing with. That was mine. I don't know what he's asking you to do, but he's asking us to believe. Believe in Jesus, Son of God, the Messiah, the one who can satisfy our deepest longings. That's what we're going after in this series, and I hope you're in for the ride. Invite friends, invite family members, invite them to check it out online, invite them, you know, listen to the podcast, share the podcast with them. We're anticipating God to do some pretty significant things. Now, outside in the atrium, we have a companion guide. It's going to look something like this. And in this companion guide, it's called Believe. This, we're going to walk with us. It's going to walk you through the series as we go through it. And it has scriptures and questions each week. And we want you to get with two or three people, talk about it. Like Carolyn and I are talking about it on the podcast. Talk about it with two or three people in two or three other people that you might know. There's family discussion questions in here, so you can ask parents, you can ask your children some of the questions as you share some of the Bible stories. And then you can go on wearetrinity.com/guide and download this entire thing. So if you don't get the binder today, you can actually go to wearetrinity.com/guide and download everything that's in here. So that's what we're going after this year. We're going after life. We're going after belief. We're going after trusting Jesus for who he is and that we might actually have life in his name. Let's stand and let's pray. Hey, if you want someone to pray with you, our prayer ministers as well as elders will be up front to pray with you if you have a need. So let me pray for us now. So God, thank you, thank you, thank you for allowing John to write this book. Thank you for allowing him to carefully select the stories that will activate our faith and belief. Not just belief that you exist, but believe that you actually sent your son to save us. And not just to save us, but to give us life, a quality of life that is just a precursor to what we will enjoy forever in your presence. And we know that it comes through believing that Jesus is your son. And so we pray that you would help us come to your word with expectancy because we believe you want to do something in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a great rest of the weekend.